It's 12 and Up, Season 10, Episode 5, with your host Jonathan Malone and guest host Josh Mancini. Twelve and Up is a podcast about Christian faith and culture in the modern age. Your host, Jonathan Malone, is the pastor of the First Baptist Church of East Greenwich, Rhode Island. Josh Mancini is the pastor of the Church of the City in Providence, Rhode Island. This podcast is brought to you by Moral Absolutes. There is always a right, always a wrong, and never any question. And Moral Relativity. Whee! It's a party for all! Alright, we're gonna move the mic just a little bit.
Moral Absolutes, that's like the, that's the motto of the Catholic Church.
Yeah, I know. They tried. Okay, we are, and we're back. I'm here in, I have Josh's in my house.
Yeah.
Welcome to the house.
Nice. Yep.
Yeah, in the kitchen.
Is this your first podcast from the house?
No, I know. I've done others in the house, too. Sorry, man.
No, it's just... Whatever. Have you ever had somebody, a guest host, three times?
Yes.
No. I was hoping to have some kind of record today.
There's got to be something special about you, but right now...
No, there's nothing. My mother lied to me.
Mine never told me I was special.
Well, she didn't lie.
No, yeah, I know, right? She just said, look, just try to get by.
Do enough.
Just do enough.
Yeah.
Just, that's why it's 12 enough. That's... Like, just, you know, I'm not going for 13.
Right. Don't bother.
I'm not overshooting.
Right. And you're not doing under. You're not going to 11.
No. I mean, it's mediocre.
Yeah.
That's it, really, folks.
I mean, depending on what that 12 is.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. 12, it could be. But, folks, here, listen to your Uncle Jonathan. Shoot for mediocrity, and you'll never be asked to do stuff again.
You'll never be disappointed either.
And you'll never be disappointed. Right? Unless you fail miserably, and then you're a loser.
Yeah.
And we need to talk.
Yeah, if you're shooting for mediocrity and failing.
And you still even, yeah. But no, middle of the bell curve is the way to go. Statisticians love you. So, but this, Josh, this is your third time on the show.
Yes, yeah.
First time was as a Calvinist.
Yes.
Second time was as a Pentecostal.
Yep.
So what are you today? Legalist?
If you put those two together, you would get legalism, huh?
A Calvacostal?
Yeah, if you put Calvinism and Pentecostal together, you'd think, man, that guy is such a legalist. And then today I'm going to blow people's minds.
I can't wait for that. But you are still pastor at Church of the City.
Yes.
In Providence. Branch Ave?
On Charles Street now.
Where's Charles Street?
Next to Branch Ave.
Is it near Darwin Street?
No, it's not near Darwin Street.
Should be, right?
Right. No, it's one of the main streets that lead into North Providence, Route 246. Okay. It goes up to West Quissett Pike and all that.
So where your church is located now, what used to be there?
Good question. It used to be a hair salon.
Okay.
It used to be a daycare.
Uh-huh.
It used to be a mattress store.
I'm loving where this is going.
And then it was like a place for mobsters to hang out.
Well, that's hair salon, daycare, mattress store.
Right, that's what it all... I mean, that's the natural progression.
Right. That's it.
And now it's a church.
And now it's a place for mobsters to hang out.
Yeah, now it's still a place for mobsters to hang out if they choose.
For repentance.
Right. Repentant mobsters. My landlord, who is a mobster, like genuine mobster, he's like, oh, I'm going to heaven now because I'm renting the church to you guys. And I'm like,
is he renting it at a low rent? I mean, is he giving you a deal?
He's giving the church a deal, yeah.
Yeah, well. Yeah.
Not the guy who lives upstairs, who is me.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, then you better... You should squeeze him a little bit more.
Right, squeeze him. Say, listen, you're on the cusp of heaven.
I wish I could guarantee it for you, but... This rent is killing me.
That's not right.
So, and since the last time you've been on the show, you've gotten married.
I've been married, yeah.
And,
I am married.
And you're still married.
I'm still married.
Yeah, so we're going to say that your action in marriage is present tense, incomplete action.
Yes.
Right?
Yes, absolutely. Indefinitely married.
Indefinitely married.
Until one of us die.
And let's hope that the next time we have you on, you will still continue to be
married. Yes, right. Let's hope neither of us have died. Next time I'll be on, I'll have a kid.
Where are you going to get one?
On
layaway? Do you have a child on layaway?
Yeah. Essentially, the child's on a 9-month layaway. Or a 10 month, whatever it is.
Until you make that final payment.
And right now, it's almost almost done being paid for. My wife's paying for it all because I'm just standing there watching her.
You'll pay for it later.
Right. That's what they tell me. Yeah. For 18 years, at least.
At least. That's one of my complaints with the with Obamacare, is that the kid can stay on your insurance until like 26.
Right.
I want an excuse to get him out.
Right. So you're anti-ACA just because of that.
Only because of that. Otherwise, I love it. I mean, I use it. that's how I got my insurance. But I need as many possibilities to excise my children from my life as I can. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And the Affordable Care Act is not helping with that.
Yeah. Yeah, no. Then, you know, you'll have college to deal with. And then
I know.
No college funds set up.
No, I have therapy funds set up.
Good. That's even better. Don't go to college. Go to therapy.
Being my kid, being a pastor's kid, they're going to need it.
Yeah, so that's what they say.
Yeah.
I feel bad for mine.
Already? You should.
Yeah, no, it's...
Well, especially you're a Calvacostal.
Yeah.
I'm going to coin that term, Calvacostal.
Go for it.
Did anyone use that before?
No. Most of the time, it's just Bapticostal.
You're a Baptist Calvacostal.
Because they just assume being Calvinist, I'm Baptist, but they don't know who.
No, there are a lot of non
Baptists. Yeah, no, especially in Rhode Island.
Yeah. It's great. We're like mold. you just can't get rid of us. You scrub and scrub.
Yeah.
There's always at least one that
they've lingers. Tried. They've tried to get rid of you guys. They
Well, it's good to have you on the show again.
I'm happy to be here.
It's always a blast. And let's just go right into our Rylage. My Rylage. I've been on a political tear for a little bit, so I'm going to ease up.
Nice.
You know, I need a break.
Yeah, Facebook takes care of that.
Oh, boy. Yeah. So my Rylage is on warm winter weather. It's a great Rylage because it has alliteration and it has the W alliteration, which just works so well, right? So warm winter weather. Today is January, what's the date? 26th? 26th. It's January 26th. And it's probably close to 50 degrees outside today.
Yeah, it's 48 right now.
Yeah, I went for a bike ride this morning.
Yeah.
No, I had to wear gloves, given that. But still, I should not be able to go for a bike ride in January. We should not be comfortable outside in January. This is making us soft and weak. And my my biggest problem with that is, you know, winter's coming, to quote a popular TV show that I cannot endorse.
Right.
Because it's really softcore porn.
Right.
But winter is coming. It's Game of Thrones, folks. All right, Game of Thrones. I need to, after
that. Yeah, I think I went over somebody's.
Yeah, someone's going to be like, what is he watching? No, I'm not watching it because it's immoral. It's not illegal, but immoral.
Pretty sure that was my Rylage last time.
Game of Thrones.
Yeah. Oh. Game of Thrones being softcore porn.
I know, right? It might have been. So it's making us soft. Winter will come. February is going to come around the corner. And if we're lucky, it'll get below zero. And everyone's going to be taken by surprise. Yep. And they're going to be complaining and whining because of this warm winter weather we're having now. And it's been like this. We haven't really had any hard days. We had one day when it was like 10 degrees in the morning. That's nothing. And you know what? This is going to make it easy for people to take over America. You want to make America great again? Bring back the cold weather.
Yeah.
Toughen us up. What do you feel? How do you feel about this, Josh?
Well, so next week it's supposed to snow.
Good.
Finally. And that's on my birthday that it's decided to snow.
Happy birthday.
Thank you. Yeah. My birthday sucks this year. It's the Super Bowl. It might snow. Like, it's all these bad things. So I already have friends that are like, yeah, no, we were going to plan something. They're like, please, the Super Bowl. And they're like, I'm like, okay.
Are you rooting for any of the teams?
No.
Good.
No.
Good.
Yeah, no.
What's your team?
Dallas.
Wow.
I'm a Dallas fan. We can't say the full name because of copyright reasons. But,
right. Being an Eagles fan, I really can't. At least
we're not Redskins fans.
Yeah.
It could always get worse.
I know. I just, in good conscience, just couldn't root for the Redskins.
But the warm weather, I agree. It's getting bad. And next week, when it's supposedly going to snow, it's somewhere between the 5th and the 7th, it's going to snow.
Good.
It's going to be, it's supposed to be harsh. And
so
there's that. So I'm with you.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I'm like, well, next week.
So. Yeah. So are you enjoying it?
No. It's because it's been nice. But it's been like days like this where it's rainy.
Today it's rainy. This is like the third or fourth day of rain.
Yeah. And then the other hand, you know, because I do Uber for my income because it's a small church.
Right.
Nice weather Nice weather is good in the summertime because it's really hot and people don't want to walk.
Right.
And in the wintertime, it's bad because people want to walk. Oh. So I don't get as many Uber requests as I normally would. So I'm like dying for snow so I can just get out there and just drive.
See, I would have thought it would have been different for you because you would have said when the bad weather or the driving, it's harder, more stressful.
Oh, I've lived in New England all my life.
Okay.
So I know, please, winter weather is nothing. If it was snowing right now, I'd still be coming here. So.
I'm glad to hear that. You don't cancel church for snow?
I live upstairs.
Okay, yes.
Oh,
good.
I do have requests to cancel it, and so if I get enough requests, I'll cancel it, but then I'll still say you have to watch it on Facebook.
Nice.
And save your tithes. And
that's right. Send in your money.
Send in your money still. Maybe I'll cancel it if enough comes in.
I could see that, folks. I just need $10 more to cancel church. $10 more. If someone calls in now, I will cancel church.
Oh, man. We'd have so many donators if we did it like that.
I know, right?
Yeah.
If we had obligation. I don't cancel church either. I live about 2 miles from the church. And I do a lot of hiking. And I finished college in upstate New York, like 20 minutes south of the Canadian border. So
I will walk
to church in the snow. I'm fine with that. You know, and there's maybe usually like 3 other people that will show up, but I will not cancel church.
You never know. You might get that one sinner
that needs
Jesus that morning.
Person who needs.
Or a homeless person looking for warmth or whatever.
Hey, that's
maybe not in East Greenwich.
Just as good. Well, you never know. We do have some.
We do have one town drunk.
Yeah.
Oh,
man. So, yes.
Yeah,
so, yeah.
Sheesh. Sorry, East Greenwich.
Yeah, East Greenwich has we have our share of challenges and people just living on hard times too. It does happen. They're just not seen, which is that could be a different rile. I'll save that for another time.
Yeah, save that for another time. Actually, I'll use no. I'm not gonna take
it. What my recommendation, if this is going to keep up, I'm glad to hear snow is coming because otherwise, I was going to recommend that people move to the Yukon territories.
Yes. Start digging for gold again.
Yeah. At least watch the gold rush.
Right.
You know, a good Charlie Chaplin film.
Yeah.
Reminding you about how cold it can be. We need it. It needs to be cold.
I agree.
So, all right. What's your Rylage, Dad?
So, my Rylage is going in a different direction. Maybe just as soft, but
that's okay.
not as cold. Is in late night, there's no good food. Late night. Now, the only reason I know this, now, besides being an Uber driver, besides dealing with people all the time, besides having insomnia, is the fact that my wife is pregnant, and in the middle of the night, she decides to get hungry.
Of course.
From like 12 to 4. And in...
You know, it's her God-given right to
get hungry. It is. Listen.
From 12 to 4.
That's what the big march was about Saturday. That's where all these things were going on. It's so she can have food. In all seriousness, it has to do with like when you go out and you order or when you go look for food for a pregnant woman at... Between 12 and 4. Now, listen, she's pregnant, so she doesn't want the greasy stuff anyways.
Okay, good.
But working in the food industry, I realize there's good quality ingredients and there's bad quality ingredients.
Right.
And when I order a chicken sandwich and I realize it's the same chicken I was getting in high school during lunch.
Ew. Yeah.
Yeah, it kind of turns me off. So, at least in Providence.
Right, right.
If we're in New York City, I wouldn't be having this.
No. You're right.
No, you know... Yeah. But in Providence and in Boston, so in New England, despite having all these great restaurants and all these great chefs and all these, we have Johnson & Wales.
Yeah, we have a great food scene in Providence. It's a very hip
town. We have nothing after midnight.
That is crazy.
And for me, that bothers me only because, and that's no offense, listen, I know somebody that's from Rhode Island is going to be like, what about Wes's Rib House? Well, you know, when you live in the South for any number of time, there's no ribs that compare.
Yeah.
Wes's is okay, but...
So that's a real place?
Well, oh, yeah. You didn't know that?
No.
Well, there you go. Wes's Rib House on Dyke Street in Olneyville is real. There's their one advertisement. But the reality is there's no... Even they come up short compared to the quality of food you can get during the rest of the day.
So their ribs come up short?
Yeah, they're short ribs. They're short ribs.
Wes's Rib House, their ribs come up short.
But no, there's no... There's just nothing. There's these greasy, nasty, frozen foods I get. So... I can go spend $8-$9 and go order a chicken sandwich that I would be getting from a cafeteria in high school.
Not a very good chicken sandwich.
Right, not a good chicken sandwich. Right. Or I could just say, you know what, wife of mine, I'm going to Wendy's.
Going to Wendy's.
And, I mean, at that point, there's no difference except I'm saving like $6.
Right. Yeah. Well, let me ask you this. Can you cook?
Yes.
Why don't you?
Because it's like 2 in the morning.
You're up anyways.
Listen, at 2 a.m. anybody wanna? You just destroyed my whole mileage. That's it. Like, I have no logical answer. No,
we'll come back to you, Ryan.
Does anybody want to come up? Does anybody want to wake up or not wake up? Come home, because I usually come home at 2 a.m.
Right.
And my wife's like, "Oh, can you get me food on my way home?" Do I want to come home and cook after driving for 12 hours? In the cases where I'm not out,
yeah.
Who wants to cook at 2 a.m? That's so weird. It's just a strange. Even if
it
I'm
is
up,
weird. Although, I love waking up to freshly made pie. I mean, you got to start it at 2 to have the pie ready by 6 or 7 in the morning.
So is that a hint for your wife?
No. Oh, gosh, no. I would never dare presume to make such a hint. So you need to make, I mean, you could make a graph of all the kinds of foods that your wife craves in the middle of the night and have the ingredients there.
Ready. Just ready. In a crock pot.
Yeah. Oh, great idea. Yeah. In a crock pot.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
You can have like 5 different crock pots always going. So,
oh, wife, you said if you wanted pulled pork. Well, I've already got it made. It's been sitting here for 5 days.
Pulled pork. That'd be something. I can get around that.
Yeah, she doesn't like pulled pork. That's why I said it.
So what kind of monster is she?
I don't know. No, there's good and bad. She doesn't like any type of seafood.
Yeah.
Wow. That's immoral. But your deeper biology is not so much. I mean, you will go.
I'll go. I'll even cook if my wife wanted me to cook. It's more of the lack of option.
Yeah.
It's the lack of.
That's not right.
Which, you know, in a city like Providence, in this state, in New England, where we have so much good food.
Yeah.
I mean, I can go between the hours of 9 a.m. and 9 p.m.
Yeah.
And find literally every restaurant that's great in Rhode Island, Mass. Right. Not Connecticut, but still, Rhode Island, Mass. New Hampshire has like one or two, you know, restaurants in the whole state. Beyond that, like once you get past that like 10 p.m. or 11 p.m. threshold, it's like you get nothing. I'm not asking for, you know, lobster. I'm not asking for like, you know, a great lobster bisque or anything like that. I'm just asking for just a quality chicken sandwich.
A quality chicken sandwich.
Yeah. You know, not a Cisco imported.
What's the farm up north in Providence?
Up north.
Yeah, in the northern part of Providence where people get a lot of their chicken from. Oh, I don't remember it either.
There's no farms in Providence.
Northern part of
Providence. Are you talking about Wright's Farm?
Wright's Farm. Northern Rhode Island.
Right. Wright's
Farm. They make good chicken sandwiches. But I'm sure they're not open.
No, they're definitely not open.
It's a family-run business.
Yeah, they're not open past like 6 p.m.
Yeah, you can't ask them to be open. That's
no, crazy. So I understand that aspect too. You know, I'm not asking, I'm not asking the hardworking people to be open. I'm asking the lazy Johnson & Wales students that are listening to this podcast, because I know you have a big following from the culinary school.
Go, what's their mascot? All right,
fat cats.
Go fat cats and blue whales.
Yeah, something like that. I know it's a cat.
It's a cat?
Yeah.
Okay, go Lennox.
Maybe.
Good enough.
It's good enough. Close enough. But I know those culinary students are listening. Yeah. Go listen. Forget your degree. Go open up. Go get a food truck.
Here's some advice from Uncle Josh.
Yeah, here's some advice from Uncle Josh. Trust me. Forget your degree because you're just going to end up in debt.
Yeah, you are.
Go open up a food truck.
Food trucks are big now.
Listen, have a Murphy bin in that sucker.
Yeah.
Done deal.
Just find out.
It's so warm this winter. Who cares? Yeah, you don't need heat.
No. You find out where Josh lives.
Just find out where I live. Just sit outside there.
Just sit there and wait. He'll be there. Don't worry. It sounds like, so yeah, it's partially, we're now getting also the nightlife of Providence and Boston. And it is a different, I don't know if that will ever change.
You know what's good, in all seriousness, and at night is Ogie's Trailer Park.
Ogie's Trailer Park.
But I think they stopped serving food like at 1.
That's a thing?
Yeah.
Where is that?
Westminster. You'd like it.
Oh, okay.
Nice little hip bar.
Oh, right.
But they have some good food selection.
Yeah.
But I don't know when they stop serving food.
When the kitchen closes.
Yeah. And it's, yeah. So I lied. There's one place.
What do you think it says when a city lacks the kind of nightlife that goes all night?
Well, you know, it says they fall asleep.
It says they fall asleep. You know what it also says? People aren't thinking anymore. People aren't dreaming. People aren't being creative. We've lost the whole bohemian lifestyle.
Right.
Gone.
There's the Renaissance City. Dead.
The Renaissance City's dead. Providence is dead because there's no good food.
Right.
From midnight to
4.
To 4 in the morning. That's the story.
Apparently, I don't care about 4 to 9. Those people that, you know.
4 in the morning to 9. Well,
yeah, I don't. You know, they can have Dunkin' Donuts, those people.
Yeah. The donut shops will be open by then. And you'll get like freshly made stuff. But if we had Krispy Kreme donuts here,
yeah,
we would get the Hot Now signs.
Right.
We'd all be lit up.
We had Krispy Kreme, and they just They got bullied out by that evil conglomerate, Dunkin' Donuts.
Dunkin' Donuts. Well, at least Rhode Island always has Allie's Donuts. Which
you gotta drive if you're living up in Providence.
That's true, but yeah. It's worth it.
It is. It is.
Oh my gosh.
I hope my wife's not listening to this podcast. Because she'll ask me, what's Allie's Donuts?
She doesn't know what Allie's
Donuts. No, she doesn't know what Allie's
Donuts. Isn't she native of Rhode Island?
No, she's a Connecticut native.
Oh. Oh,
yeah, that's why when you met her, she was so snobby and whatnot.
Yeah.
Look at me, Jonathan.
I should have that's the exact when I did meet person. Josh's wife, she was wearing a live mink around her. And that mink was wearing a dead mink. That's how elite she was.
Yeah,
mink was wearing a mink.
When we said shoot for mediocrity, I met my wife because she went down and she shot for me. You know, and she was successful, but
she down married.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
In all seriousness, you know they say somebody upgrades and somebody downgrades. Yeah. I upgraded and she like.
Well, it's all about grace, man.
She went down to Windows 3.
Windows 3. At least she didn't go to DOS.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thanks.
So here's what we got. First of all, down with warm weather during the winter. Come on.
Amen.
Yeah. I mean.
Thankfully, it's coming.
It's coming. Winter's coming.
Winter is coming.
And zombies will be marching with their blue eyes and eerie skin. I don't know. I saw a couple episodes. And let's bring back the bohemian, late night, good food. Let's get some foodie snob folks to say,
yeah.
we're going to be open from midnight to 4.
Yes.
Only.
That's it.
Yeah.
Yeah. You don't need the dinner rush. You don't need the lunch rush. You need the late night stoner rush.
Late night
or pregnant rush.
But the snobby foodie stoner rush.
Right. 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 Like yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. All right. So, folks, look for cold weather and try to eat well after midnight.
Okay. Unless you're a Mogwai.
What? For scripture, we're going to do Psalm 64. I was really careful. A lot of times when I start this intro, I usually say, for scripture. So I say, for scripture, I'm going to keep it low.
Get into the Batman.
Yeah, for scripture, Psalm 64. It works better to do a Batman voice if I smoke 2 cigars and drink a thing of brandy, a snifter of brandy. Then you really got that good gravelly feel to it.
And then it's not a sin.
Then it's not a sin because it's
for Batman.
It's for recording purposes.
It's not a sin anyways, but...
Right. All right, Psalm 64. What version do you have there,
John? English Standard.
Let's hear it on the English Standard.
What version is that?
The New Revised Standard.
New Revised.
The kind that Jesus prefers. But
let's
hear one of the secondary...
The one Paul wrote in.
Let's hear one of the secondary translations.
Hear my voice, O God, in my complaint. Preserve my life from dread of the enemy. Hide me from the secret plots of the wicked, from the throng of evildoers, who whet their tongues like swords, who aim bitter words like arrows, shooting from ambush at the blameless, shooting at him suddenly and without fear. They hold fast to their evil purpose. They talk of laying snares secretly, thinking, who can see them? They search out injustice, saying, we have accomplished a diligent search, for the inward mind and heart of a man are deep. But God shoots his arrow at them. They are wounded suddenly. They are brought to ruin, and their own tongues turned against them. All who see them will wag their heads. Then all mankind fears. They tell what God has brought about and ponder what he has done. Let the righteous one rejoice in the Lord and take refuge in him. Let all the upright in heart exult.
Yeah, that's pretty close.
Yeah. Well, ESV is based on the same translations.
Right, right.
Same manuscripts.
Same manuscript, yeah.
As the,
yeah. There's always questions of word phrasing and all that kind of stuff. So, yeah, so, you know, it seems fairly straightforward, right?
It's, you know, don't go getting revenge. That's how I'm reading it.
Don't go get it? How do you, sorry.
Go getting.
Don't go getting.
Don't go getting rich.
Don't go getting.
the way I look at it right away is that, you know, maybe not revenge isn't the right word, but let the evildoer kind of take care of themselves.
Oh, well, I hear that God's going to take care of him.
Right. Well, that's what I mean by taking care of himself, is that you don't need to go do it.
God's going to do it.
Right. You didn't even go get in it for them.
Go get in it.
I think when I read this, I think of one of Luther's quotes, Martin Luther, not the any other Luthers, not Vandross.
That's what I was thinking. It was right, like Vandross.
Martin Luther.
I was hoping you'd sing it for me.
Somebody asked him, "What do you think about all those Muslims and the Turks?"
Right.
And Luther's like, "What does the Turk have to do with me? I'm in Germany." Because at the time, the Ottoman Empire, it was growing, but it wasn't this vast thing. And for Luther, as a minister, he's like, what he was saying is, I'm dealing with the issues of Germany.
Right.
Let me deal with, you know, my people and the people that are under me, right, rather than worry about the Muslim right now that's out in Turkey.
And also, right at that moment, he actually put his feet up on an Ottoman.
This is what I think of the Ottoman Empire.
It's like, they're pretty comfortable. Comfortable people.
Very comfortable.
But that's what I think of is, not again, so as ministers, it's our job to minister the gospel.
Right.
I don't know why I closed that. It's our job to minister the gospel.
Right.
So that doesn't mean go and ignore everybody that's an evildoer. But in the end of the day, and this is a very, very big supporter of predestination, just so you know.
Okay.
In my opinion, at least, and others.
Okay, yeah.
That it's, you know what, those who are called by God are called by God, and those who aren't called by God, God will deal with still.
Okay.
So I
see this not so much. I didn't see the predestination in it, and don't still, but that's okay. But I see this saying, you know, so somebody, you know, saying, like, there are these wicked out there, they're shooting from ambush at the blameless. You know, so really setting them up as horrible people.
Right? Oh yeah, there's that part as well. Yeah.
Yeah, and then the psalmist says, "But God's going to take care of them." That's what you're saying. And I don't see this predestination. I just see that God's justice will be done. That's what I hear in this more. In some of the research, I got to do a little. Which, all right, so you're saying like predestination is God's justice?
Yeah, that's why I'm laughing.
Except so. We're going
to
come
back. We'll get to it. Yeah, continue.
I think that I got to do it. So Josh just saw this just now. He didn't get to do as much.
I didn't get to look at the Hebrew. So, I didn't get any chance to research this.
There's a great phrase that in doing research on this that one scholar used. It says, it talks about the idea of lex talionis, which is the retributive justice, which is eye for an eye. And that's kind of what, that's that middle part where God will shoot his arrow at them. Because they're shooting arrows at people and saying, well, God will shoot arrow at them. And their tongue is bringing other people to ruin, he says, but he will bring their tongues to ruin. So the psalm has this wonderful poetry of God's going to, they're going to get what they deserve, what they've earned, what they're reaping is what they're going to sow.
One of this also speak about, you know, the idea that we don't have to necessarily be the one who takes the eye.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
You know, which is what Jesus says later on, too.
Yeah.
You know, that, you know, if you've heard an eye for an eye, well, I say, you know, if somebody slaps you, turn the other cheek.
Right.
So maybe not to that extent of Jesus, but the same idea that we don't need to go get our eye.
Right. But this, I mean, it feels good to read this and to say they're going to get what's coming to them.
Sometimes, yeah.
Why do you say sometimes?
So I'm looking at it, it's still predestination.
Yeah, well, I think that brings in a wonderful little twist.
Right. So it's the idea that, you know what, at the end of the day, they're going to get theirs. But what does theirs look like here? If you read this, theirs is justice and punishment and whatnot. And it's like there's almost, in this particular psalm, for the evildoer, there's no grace. Right. For those who are God's people that are calling out to him saying, these things are happening to me, there's grace. And that's this comfort there. So as a Christian, I'm comfortable.
Yeah.
Like, wow, you know what, Lord, you're going to take care of my issues. You're going to take care of my, whether it's a physical issue. Right. I don't know if this is a physical prayer as much as it might be something beyond that. You know, I wouldn't call this just physical that, oh, somebody cut me off. They'll get cut off. That's karma, you know.
That is karma.
So I don't know if it's just physical. I think there's more spiritual aspects to this. But it makes me uncomfortable as a minister because it reminds me that there are people that are doing evil out there and they're going to get theirs. And whether it's predestination or even just their own free will and free choice that they're not going to heaven no matter what, there's this idea that, wow, they're going to get theirs too for rejection.
Well, and where I go, the next place I go with that is, and why won't I get mine?
Right.
And that's the grace thing that I hear.
Right. And we won't get ours because, you know, where we, whether, again, predestination or choice, we have come into a relationship and into communion with the Lord.
Right.
Where they haven't. And so, you know, I'm definitely reading New Testament into this. So I know when is this okay, it's David. It's when David writes this, it's not he's not thinking
He's
not looking to the cross. Right. And so that makes me even more uncomfortable because the fact that not that David, but others would read this and say they're getting theirs. You know, the armies have come in and taken us and there's hope, they're getting theirs, but it's like almost like it's a misguided hope almost to me.
Well, and I think though that's an important way to read this. Mm-hmm. I think on first blush we read this and there is this kind of satisfaction.
Yes.
That, you know, those who hurt me, they'll be hurt in the same way. Mm-hmm. Those who take advantage of the least, because of God's justice, because of that divine justice, they will suffer too.
Right.
And you read that and you're like, oh, good. That feels good. It feels like there's some kind of cosmic balance in the universe.
Right. And it makes us comfortable when bad things happen to us.
Right. That whoever did that to us, they're going to pay for it.
Right.
But I think as we read it again and again and we get a little bit closer, we say, like, but we do things that aren't good either, also.
Right.
And if God is this God of this retributive justice, then what are we going
to
get?
Right. Oh, and then it leads to the cross.
Yeah.
You know, hopefully.
I see this as a great passage for an evangelical hellfire sermon.
It is. Oh no, it definitely is.
Yeah.
This would preach in the evangelical church, and you're going to hell unless you're right with Jesus.
I mean, this is right. This leads you right up to the Jonathan Edwards, sinner in the hands of an angry God.
He wasn't evangelical.
I'll push back on that for sure.
There were no evangelicals 300 years ago.
He was part of the Great Awakening. He was one of the primary preachers of the First Great Awakening.
Yes.
Is an beginning of the evangelical movement in America. What do you mean? Conversion is a major part of the awakening. I feel like regeneration is a big part of the awakening. Sharing the gospel.
Those aren't Baptists.
These are evangelical tenets. These are part of being. He actually worked at a mission for Native Americans.
Oh, gosh, missionaries.
So part of the evangelical.
Catholic, too.
Okay, so even though I'm going to respect your right to be wrong about Jonathan Edwards not being evangelical.
Let me take a step back and say if Edwards saw the evangelical
the religious affections, he was big into the affections. I'm sorry. Go
ahead. Right. If he saw the movement today,
right,
modern evangelicals, wouldn't. Evangelicals will claim him.
Right. So yeah, I guess we should. Yeah, my understanding when I use the word evangelical, I use it in a sense that's rooted in the tradition. That
It's rooted with that.
But a lot of people use today when they say evangelical that descriptor.
Right.
Is not what I mean when I use that term.
Right.
That might be where we're.
Yeah. I think that's what that was. Okay. That's why I wanted to take a step back.
Okay.
Because
you.
The past.
Next thing I was going to expect for you to say that Spurgeon was an evangelical.
The Baptists hated him, so.
The Baptists love him.
Now they do.
Yeah. Oh,
the old Baptists didn't.
Well, yeah, I know.
Anyway, so.
We're cantankerous.
So Edwards, though, right? So in evangelicalism is, fine. First Great Awakening, obviously, and then you get the Second Great Awakening, you get all this. But evangelicalism.
Culminating with Finney.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, real life Charles Finney.
For those who don't know Charles Finney, I'm going to give you
President of Oberlin College.
I'm going to give you a brief summary of Charles Finney.
Presbyterian.
You gave the first step. Thank you. Presbyterian who wasn't Calvinist.
Nope.
Very anti-Calvinist. Hated Calvinist, and would preach from his pulpit his hatred of Calvinist and other religious groups. Yeah. And thanks to Mr. Finney, we had the amazing burned out district of New York. Where the Jehovah's Witnesses, Mormons.
He was at the tail end of that movement.
He was
near the tail end.
Which caused the burnt over district.
So the burnt over district, that part of upstate New York around Buffalo, Rochester, which if you ever go visit Buffalo and Rochester, you get why we call it the burned over district. Sad towns.
Yeah.
They're coming back, though. They're coming back.
Come back to Jesus. Thanks to the evangelicals.
But you're right. The Jehovah's Witnesses are from that area.
Yep.
Mormons from that area. The Oneida community is in that area. Mm-hmm.
Seventh-day Adventists.
That's right. And the Millerites and Seventh-day Adventists from that area. So there was a lot of...
Thank you for using Millerites.
Yeah, you're welcome. Yeah.
A lot of people don't know, like, Adventist stars Millerites.
Yeah.
Not Seventh-day, but regular Adventist.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
To use that distinction is nice.
Okay, so let's get back to
Scripture.
So anyway, yeah, we can quibble over history and evangelicalism in America at another
time. Right, but you're right. This would make a good hellfire and brimstone, but even then...
Yeah.
See, that's why, maybe that's why it saddens me, because it's like, wait a minute, you know, this is a good hellfire and brimstone, but again, it's karma.
So, and that's where... That. Yeah, and that's why I think... I take the deliberate move of reading it through the lens of Christ, which yes. you do as well, yes. from what I heard.
Yes.
And then the evangelical sermon does bring us to that place where we say, and we are also hanging over the flames of hell on but a spider's web.
Mm.
Which is, that's not what Jonathan Edwards said, but that's Edwards. Well, no, Edwards, that's
Edwards. I know Edwards, but that's definitely an Arminian view that even the Christians are.
Right, but it's but by the grace of God that we are saved.
Right.
Well, because otherwise, I mean, if Christians aren't hanging over the flames of hell, we're without sin, right? I mean, it's our sin that brings us that. Right. So continue with that imagery.
Before I meet Jesus, for lack of a better term, that's not. I don't mean meet him up in.
Did heaven. You meet him on J Date?
Yeah, Christian mingle.
No, he'd be on J Date.
Right,
Jews.
Jewish. Right. Yeah. I missed that one.
Or just because it's Jesus Day. I love the first Christian that probably went on like, J-Day must be about Jesus.
So before I get my salvation moment,
right.
which you know happened in the military, it was great, it was awesome, that realization of yeah. who Jesus is.
Yeah.
I literally was hanging over the pits of hell.
Right.
But for me, and this is again the Calvinism speaking, if I'm still looking like that,
yeah.
if I'm still hanging over the pits of hell, am I saved?
Well, that you don't fall in.
Yeah, when I die, I don't fall in and I get grafted up. But then, you know, what am I doing at the pits of hell still?
I think that imagery is a good reminder of...
Oh, you're
I'm an Armenian.
You're a universalist.
But even if you're a you know, some kind of lost Calvinist... it's fine. You like what you like.
Yeah, you like what you like.
To be reminded that... To be chosen, you know, how important that is. What does that mean? Because look at where you could be.
Right. Well, and so, you know, so this might be also a kickback from going to the summit.
I like that you accept kickbacks.
Yeah. It might be a kickback from in my own doctrine, yeah. in my own belief, and a reaction because in an Assemblies of God school, you're literally hanging over the pits of hell every day.
Yeah.
Every sermon.
Oh, okay.
Everything that was taught. Like, not in a negative way. Not everything. I'm being hyperbolic, obviously.
Right.
But like every time there was like, you have to make this choice for Jesus today. And I'm like sitting there like, I've already made the choice.
Right.
What are you talking about? And like, it was like, if you, and this might be the legalism aspect. So get back to our discussion.
Yeah.
The legalism aspect is if you touch alcohol, if you touch marijuana, if you dance to...
That thread drops you just a little bit closer
whatever.
To the
right. You're getting closer to the flames, or you're falling in.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, yeah. So, folks, when the people who are listening, they haven't heard our brilliant discussion about legalism and antinomy.
Yeah.
But yeah, this does speak to that. I mean, so you know, your view on predestination has the danger of going towards that antinomianism.
Right, right.
I'm so, safe, so it doesn't matter.
You're absolutely right, and that's why there's Calvinists here. There's nobody here beside me. There's Calvinists in America.
None of my kids are Calvinists, I'll tell you
good,
that.
Good.
You
raised them right.
I forbid it.
there's a movement in Calvinism today, this grace movement that literally perverts the gospel and says, oh, we're saved. We don't have to do anything. We don't even need repentance. And it's like,
whoa,
no.
Yeah.
You need repentance. You know, your sins still bring you closer. Even though you're saved, your sins are still bring you closer to that doom point that maybe you're not even saved anyways.
Right.
And so it's a perversion of grace that Jude talks about.
Right.
So,
and so what I like with this passage, when I read it through the lens of Christ, this psalm, and I read if there's these wicked out there, and I read that God's going to get them, I'm like, oh, that feels good. And then I say, but I am also part of the wicked, and how do I know God's not going to get me?
Right.
And that's when the cross. So
that's where verse 10 comes in too.
Yeah, let the righteous rejoice and take.
Why?
But take refuge in Him, and I would want to say, on your knees, you take refuge in Him.
Yeah.
With such humility.
Yeah.
And
such.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, yeah, and really, you know, if you are looking, and I think this is something we can both agree on, no matter where you know where you sit at the spectrum of Christianity, I think you agree on this. Where is your righteousness? You know,
yeah.
How are you righteous? it's not something I did, you know?
Right.
I'm not righteous because, you know, one day and this isn't even like me just being a Calvinist, this is just me in general.
Right.
I didn't do something so amazing that I became righteous one day.
Right. No, in fact, when Josh came in my own house, he came in my home, the first thing he did was punch me in the face. Sucker punched me.
Yep, yep, no. I almost fell in.
I gave him an opportunity to confess, and he said no.
Yep. Yep. I said, absolutely not. I'm a Calvinist. I don't do that.
God wanted me to punch him in the face.
Yeah. But it's that, you know, I did. I mean, because the reality is, today, at some point, I'm going to sin.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I'm going downtown. My wife has a thing where they look at the baby.
Ultrasound.
Ultrasound.
We call those ultrasounds.
They call them ultrasounds these days.
You know, I call it witchcraft.
Right. It's witchcraft. How can you see inside the stomach?
That's impossible.
But Jump was called the same thing. at some point, whether it was in this conversation, in this podcast, or later on, at some point today, I'm going to sin.
You're
going to
sin.
Yeah. It's just because I know the wretched man that I am. Because
you're human.
I'm right.
You're a finite creature.
I'm a broken human, too. Yeah. Like, Jesus was human. He never sinned. Well, he was great.
But he was also fully God.
Yeah.
Hypostatic union.
That's another discussion we should have. But
you're gonna sin.
In my righteousness though, mm-hmm. my righteousness, if it's found in me, every day I'm screwed.
Yeah.
Yeah. Seriously.
What's this hymn? My hope is built on nothing less.
Yeah, cornerstone. That's right. Not a hymn.
Oh no, but Jesus Christ and his blessedness or something like that. There's a hymn that starts like my hope is built on nothing less but Jesus Christ and da 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 something else. Anyways.
Are you using him like as an old song, or him as in just any song?
It was a hymn that it was written before 1830, I'm sure.
Anyways.
Isaac Watts or Fanny Crosby or something.
Charles Wesley,
yeah, something like that. So, all right, so folks, read Psalm 64.
Yes.
I'm thrilled that it went the direction it did. I did not think
I know,
it
I get a sermon for Sunday. No, I'm kidding.
No, you can't.
I'm not preaching Sunday.
Oh, okay. Well, this one I'm not preaching for a while. I'm not preaching until February, but I'm working on it.
In February, go to First Baptist of East Greenwich. You'll be preaching it. Is it part of anything in particular?
No, it's not part of a sermon series. Just a
random. Nice.
Yeah. So, yeah. So, read Psalm 64 and think about about grace. Think about grace. Mm. Good. Okay.
All right.
What you into? You want me to go first?
I got what I'm into. It's okay. Just, I'm trying to figure out a way of describing it properly. So, again, so board games.
Board games.
I love board games and
not boring games.
No, not boring games.
And not boredom games.
Right, right.
Just board games.
Board games. B-O-A-R-D. Board. which I pronounce as board.
Board.
Anyways, I'm really into board games. I got a new game. It's not a new game. It's like maybe like 5-6 years old.
But new for you?
New for me.
Good enough.
Called Power Grid.
Power Grid, okay.
Power Grid. And the purpose is it's an auction-style game.
Okay.
And you are setting up, pretty much you're running an electric company, and you have to buy power plants.
I've heard of this.
Maybe. It's a great game.
Finish with the concept.
Yeah, so you're buying electric companies. You have to provide power for these different cities, and whoever has the most money at the end of the game wins. It's like it goes through. It's almost a 2-hour game.
All right. Oh, I heard about it. Wait, don't tell me, because it was one of those most ludicrous ideas.
Yeah,
it was one of the three, and people were like, "How could that even be a game?"
It's amazing,
right?
How can Monopoly be a game?
I know, right? I mean, yeah, it's like you're buying and selling and auctioning off utilities.
Yeah,
how literally. Could that be fun?
It's amazing. It's one of my new favorite games.
Wow.
That I've gotten. I got it for Christmas.
Oh. Actually.
So I got like maybe a half a dozen board games for Christmas. So.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, my wife bought 4 of them, I think, and I bought 2 of them for myself. So there's that. Power Grid is one of them that I bought for myself.
Okay.
But yeah, no, it's.
Did someone recommend it to you?
Yeah, I'm in a Facebook group.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so it's like a $50 game, so I know that might be a little pricey for some people.
Right.
But if you're looking for something to do and you have...
How young can people play it, do you think?
I played with my nephew who's 8.
Okay.
Yeah, and he grasps some things. It's very simple. Right. It's not like... Let me put it this way. It's not like a Dominion. I don't know.
Okay, I've heard of
that
Dominion.
Oh, you have? Yeah. Great. Dominion's a deck building game. I wouldn't play that with my 8-year-old nephew.
Okay.
I'd play with my 12-year-old nephew, but I wouldn't play with my 8-year-old.
Right.
It's very... If they know the buying and selling part of Monopoly,
right,
it takes that and really enhances it. There's no dice roll. There's no silly things like that. There's no chance. It's really a strategic game, but it really... I would recommend Power Grid for anybody that's looking... That maybe they like board games, but their idea of a board game is Monopoly or Clue or whatever. It takes you from that simple, very like basic... Right. Hasbro thing into this bigger thing. And the other end of Power Grid, the worst thing about Monopoly, and this is my number one thing, is that people get eliminated.
Yeah.
So any board game that somebody can get eliminated from, I don't play.
Right.
So okay. And that includes newer games, like King of Tokyo is one of them.
Okay.
If you like monster movies, though, it's a great game.
Oh, okay.
They take on like Godzilla and all that. Nice. But I hate the game because you can get eliminated. The second somebody can get eliminated from a game,
So Risk is out.
Risk is out.
For many reasons, Risk needs to be out.
Yeah.
It's just team.
There's so many better games than Risk. Diplomacy is a better game than Risk, for example. Cosmic Encounter is a great... It's space, but it's a great
game. So these games that are more communally focused.
Yeah. So Power Grid, no one can be eliminated.
Okay.
Now, you could be eliminated in terms of somebody so far ahead that you're in last place, but no one can be eliminated. And if I could throw one more.
Yeah.
New York 1901. If we're going with... if we're going with games that may appeal to people.
Okay,
If you've ever played Ticket to Ride...
No.
You haven't. No, I know. I think I've asked you. But if anybody...
She's got a Ticket to Ride, though. I know that.
Yes.
She does. She's okay. Go ahead, Josh. Come on.
New York 1901 is very similar to that. It's a tile-placing game.
Okay.
It's very simple. That's another simple game that you could play with. I mean, you can play with, honestly, if your child is intelligent, they can play as young as 5.
If your child is intelligent.
If your child isn't intelligent... Now, listen. If you are a parent or an uncle or whatever...
Yeah.
And you don't know if your child's intelligent or not enough to play this game. Look at the game. And when you realize that it might be too complicated for them, don't get it. Get Ticket to Ride or Ticket to Ride First Journey instead. But
okay.
But yeah, no. This is not a simple game.
And folks, yeah, unplug. Play board games.
Oh, yeah. No, I sold my Xbox.
You sold your Xbox?
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad you didn't tell my kids because we don't have one.
I posted it on Facebook. You could have seen it. No.
We don't have any game consoles in the house.
That's great.
Because it's too addictive.
Yeah. No. Honestly, like, we weren't using ours, me and my wife. We were using it as it was a $300 cable box, pretty much.
It's an expensive cable box.
Yeah, so I sold it, and now all we do for fun is board games.
Wow, nice.
Yeah.
All right, so Power Grid and New York 1901 and just board games. All right, well, speaking of board, I'm almost done with this book. The Alexiad of Anna... Kamnina, I think. Is that how you would pronounce it?
Kamnina.
Kamnina. I like that better. Good. So the Alexiad of Anna Kamnina. I'm sure you've read it.
It's boring.
Yeah, you haven't read it. So this is it's a history book.
Okay.
Right? But it's different from a history book that's written today. This was written around 1000 to 1100, so around the first, second century, right?
Nope.
No. The 11th century. Good. You had to say. And it's about the Emperor Alexis, Byzantine Emperor Alexis. So it's written by his daughter.
Okay.
So whenever you get a history from that time period, you know it's a different kind of history. It's almost an eyewitness account, but it's very biased. But it's fascinating. And it's the very beginning of the Crusades. So she's writing about the Romans and how cruel and horrible they are. Because she's a bit... They're Christians.
Right.
But Christians from Byzantine.
Right.
And remember, the Romans came and sacked a bunch of Eastern Orthodox towns. And she talks about that. Mm-hmm. And it does sound horrific.
So is this is pre-schism, though?
Just barely.
Right.
It's still pre-schism, but just
barely. Also because the schism really... Not to throw you off in your recommendation, but schism happens really like 700, 800.
Right, yeah.
And then, you know...
But it wasn't solidified yet.
Right, and so now I'm really interested because they were sacking it. And they were sacking... They were using the crusade as a reason to go into Jerusalem.
Yeah.
They're using it as a way to destroy the Eastern Church, too.
Yeah, and he has fights with the Turks, but also then goes and defends the Turks. He's fighting with the Celts. There's heresies that he has to quell. It's really fascinating stuff. So, I mean, it's really... They say it's a history, but I would say it's not even an eyewitness account. History was a different genre at that time when it was written. Mm-hmm. So part of that, just even reading that kind of story, it's like a memoir, is very fascinating, very in-depth, some really interesting strategies of battle. And the trickery that's used quite a bit is wonderful. So I am enjoying it. I'm almost done. I have less than 100 pages. Thank goodness. It's not something I would recommend readily. I'd recommend it to anyone who, if you love history, especially love history from that time period, so from, 1100 or 1080 to 1100, around then. If you're really fascinated in that history, especially the Byzantine Empire, then you've probably already read this.
And of the Dark Ages.
Yeah, exactly. But if you just even have an enjoyment of history, I'd recommend it. I don't know if I'd recommend it to anyone who, college age or above, I would. High school, it's tough. Yeah, if your kid's smart. If your kid can do New York 1901.
They could probably read this.
Yeah, I have the translation I have, it's Penguin Classics. It's translated by ERA Sweater, S-E-W, Sweeter, S-E-W-T-E-R. Suter, sorry, I can't read. But, he has good footnotes that kind of explain a little bit, helps you out. But it's still, the more background knowledge you have ahead of time, the more you can bring to it. That really helps. But I am enjoying it. And I'm reading it only because I've been on my shelf. I don't know how I got it. I don't know when I got it. But it's been on my shelf for a long time. Yeah, the call number is DF605.C6. In case you need to get it at the Library of Congress. That's how I organize all my books, Josh. I'm not ashamed. So, yeah, I just decided, let's see what this book has. And I've been enjoying it. So, The Alexiad of Anna Kamnina. So, you going to read it?
I'll get it.
Wow.
I'll buy it, yeah.
Yeah, you buy it. At least have it on the shelf, right?
Well, maybe on the Kindle.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, or on iBooks.
See, the problem with Kindles, you lose your bragging rights.
Right.
And people can't browse your Kindle books and say, The Alexiad of Anna Kamnina, what is this? And
yeah. You
could say, if you don't know already, it's not really worth
explaining. Yeah, no. People come in. The issue I have with books is I have a good friend who comes over my house sporadically, maybe like once every other month or so. And he's from, he goes to Gordon Conwell right now, actually.
Oh, okay. A fine institution. What's their mascot?
I don't know. The Beavers?
I'm going to say the Gourds.
The Gourds. The Gourds.
Pumpkins, the squashes.
Right.
Squashes, those kind of things. It's an assortment of Gourds for Gordon Conwell. Go Gourds.
What he does is, though, he will...
decorative Gourds.
he's a college student. He's a seminary student, so I feel bad for him. And he'll lie. And I think he knows this. And not that I feel bad that he's a seminary student.
But he
has tight finances.
Okay. He knows that you pity him.
He knows I pity his tight finances.
Right. Because you're rolling in it.
Yeah, apparently. So he'll go to my bookshelf and he'll be like, look at this book. And I'm like, yeah. He's like, can I borrow it? And I'm like, just take it. Just have it.
What's wrong with you?
Oh, I've read it.
So?
Maybe. If I've read it, I'll give it to him.
Giving out your books willingly?
Yeah, if I've read it, I don't need it.
What's wrong with you?
So
these are your children.
That's why I get on the Kindle.
No, I'm sorry, but
I don't have to give away books.
I have to categorically disagree with this whole approach towards books and book ownership that you have.
I'm free. I'm too free. I gave away. You know what I gave away last week? I gave away Cost of Discipleship.
It's a great book.
Yeah,
that Dietrich Bonhoeffer, folks. For those
Dietrich Bonhoeffer,
great book.
A friend of mine came over. He had never heard of Bonhoeffer.
But all right, that person. I don't know why you hang out with that person unless now they have a great...
Now they have a book.
Okay,
they have a monitor.
But you need that book in case you need to reference his little quote on the cost of grace and cheap grace.
I'll just have to buy it again.
What's wrong with you?
I'll buy it on the Kindle next time. So I'll always have it. That's where all my... I gave away my Institutes of Christian Religion.
You gave... The Calvin?
By Calvin, yep. I had to buy it on the Kindle.
As opposed to the Kanye West Institutes of Christian Religion, which is the name of his next rap album. You didn't know that.
Is it really? That's awesome.
No, I made that up.
Because that'd be something he would do.
I know. It actually sounds believable. Kanye West Institutes of My Religion.
What else is there? I gave away Aquinas's works. I had his complete works.
You had the complete?
All the Summas.
You gave away the Summa?
Now I have it on my tablet. Okay.
I need to go visit your bookshelf
to see if you can grab anything
and do some winnowing. All right. So anyway, everyone, you like what you like. That seems to be the theme for this whole podcast. You like what you like.
I get it. I
I'll tell you, this is one of the, there's a couple reasons why I like having actual books. First, to organize it, I do the Library of Congress because I have close to 2,000 books in my office.
Oh, I just thought you stole that from a library.
No, I did this. I put that in there. All my books have a Library of Congress number on the front cover, and I have a database where I can pull up the book in case, because there are times like, I know I have this book and I just can't find it.
Oh, 2,000 books, yeah.
Yeah, so I pull up the database, I pull up the book, find the Library of Congress number, find the book.
Nice. I have a database. It's called my Kindle, that I just type it in.
Here's the other thing I like doing, though. Sometimes I walk and I look at the books, and what I'm doing is I'm starting to have a conversation.
With the books?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, not literally.
Hello. Somebody's a little crazy.
Hello, bookie.
Wait, I'm being legalistic.
Yeah, come on. Yeah, please. No, but, I, you know, the ones I've read, I'm starting to look for ideas. Say, what do you guys think? I'm batting around this idea. I'm not sure where to go. You know, like I'll look at my biblical studies section. Like, what do you got for me? What do you got for me? What do you got for me? And just even seeing it is a good reminder of the ideas that are in the book. Mm. They spark that for me. That works for me. It doesn't work for everyone. You wanna?
You know what? I just have my stained glass of Augustine and Calvin, and I just pray to them, and they get my ideas.
You need Luther in there too, because
I'm a little Luther.
The progression from Augustine to Luther to Calvin actually makes a lot of sense.
So, quick question about this. This is definitely being nerdy. The heresies, because I'm familiar, right. But I'm not familiar. I know it's Eastern heresies. I know it's not Western heresies.
There's only
is it
couple.
Iconoclasm?
No, it's not iconoclasm.
So iconoclasm's already done with by now.
Yeah.
Okay.
It was more on the nature of Christ, the humanity of Christ versus divinity of Christ, and I think the heresy they're dealing with here. Was the person, again, was trying to make Christ not human, but not fully God. I don't remember the name of the heresy. Mm-hmm. But again, it was interesting in how they treated the person. Not well.
No.
A lot of eye gouging.
Yeah.
Have
you read Jonathan Wright's Heretics? Jonathan Wright's a professor at Brown.
Oh, you know, I haven't.
Heretics?
No.
Maybe I'll give it to you next time I see you.
All right. That'd be nice. Since you're giving away books willy-nilly.
Yeah.
All right. So that's our show. Josh, thanks for being on the show.
Yeah, no.
This is always a lot of fun. We definitely have to come up with more topics because this is cool.
I need to beat the record, whatever the record is.
Yeah, I'll have to figure out who's been on the most.
Yeah.
You're getting up there, though.
Mm.
You know, after...
You have.
Well...
I'll never beat that record.
Yeah, I've only been a guest on my own show once.
Right.
That was for the 100th episode. If people want to reach you, they want to... What time's your worship service?
11 a.m. on Sundays.
And where again? This is on Charles Street?
Yeah, 612 Charles Street in Providence.
612 Charles Street. And I'll link the website, but you want to give the website?
Check us out on Facebook.
Oh, just go to Church of the City on Facebook.
Yeah, Church of the City Providence.
Church of the City Providence. Are there other churches of the city?
Yeah, there's a big one in Tennessee.
Oh, okay, don't go to Tennessee.
No.
I
was like... I searched high and low for the name, and I'm like, this is so unique.
I go to
Secretary of State's office, I file everything, everything's good, and then I'm like, I set the website up, set Facebook up, all that, then I Google it, and that's what came up, was this one in Tennessee, and I'm like, I Googled this already, there was nothing there. Where did this happen?
Yeah,
so
they probably
no just, uniqueness there anymore.
Oh, well.
I should have just went with First Baptist or something.
Yeah, you should have been like First Baptist Providence. Because there isn't a First Baptist of Providence.
No, there isn't
There's a First Baptist of America.
Right.
But no First Baptist Providence.
Howdy, church.
That's good people. Good people.
No, I'm kidding.
Go to the Facebook, and what time did you say? 11 to
11 on Sundays. 11 to 12 at the most, at the latest.
Wow. Okay.
We're streamlined. If you like, and I know I think we joked about this. We joked about this later in the podcast. I don't know when this is going on in the podcast.
Oh, who knows?
We joked about this, and if you like the idea of Catholicism,
like mixing your wine with water,
right? If you like if you like traditions, but you hate the traditional church, this is the perfect church for you.
Oh, there we go. Nice
neo-traditional
liturgy without
right
the traditionalism.
Right, liturgy without the liturgical issues.
Good. And if you want to find me, so if you're in Providence, go to Josh's church at 11 o'clock, 612 Charles Street. If you want to come hear me or see me, it's Sunday mornings at 9:30.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll probably, I think you could do both.
Yeah.
It'd be tight. My services, it's been a long time since it's been within an hour. Usually it's an hour and 10, hour and 15, hour and a half, you know.
And we really start at 11:05.
Oh, so you can do both.
It's like TBS.
There we go. Yeah. So do both. You know, so 9:30, 11 in East Greenwich. And, you know, so yeah, so do both. Do you have a pick for the Super Bowl?
Do I have a pick or am I I'm cheering for the Falcons.
Right, but who do you think's going to win?
If the probably New England.
Probably, yeah, I know, right?
This will be after the will be after the Super Bowl.
By how many?
How many? Only like five.
Okay, so so New England by five. Mm-hmm. Good. It's locked in now.
It's recorded.
It's recorded.
It's done.
So if you want to send a comment about this show or any other shows, if you want to say to Josh, how dare you root for the Falcons being a New Englander, you can send that and all other comments or questions to 12enough@gmail.com. Come to the website, 12enough.com, where you'll find the show notes to this show and other shows, and you also find the blog, Theological Snob. I'm also putting up archived shows and blog posts slowly but surely, so see what I was thinking 5 years ago and such, or 10 years ago. I mean, I've been doing the blog for a while. Come to the Facebook page, Facebook.com/12enough, and 12enough is always written out. And as always, thank you very much for listening. Twelve Enough is a podcast about Christian faith and culture in the modern age. Your hosts were Jonathan Malone, the pastor of the First Baptist Church of East Greenwich, Rhode Island, and Josh Mancini, the pastor of the Church of the City in Providence. I almost said the First Church of the City in Providence.
It would be.
There, you could do that.
Yes.
The thoughts, ideas, opinions, moments of brilliance, ruminations, moments of excess and silliness or absurdity around books do not reflect their churches, do not reflect their denominations, their families, their friends, the city of Providence or East Greenwich or anywhere else, or any board games or historical writings or bad pronunciations of people's names or anything of that nature. These are their own ideas. This is their podcast.